Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Rugby Tonight podcast. I'm Austin Healy and joining me today in the pod booth is Ben Kay. We're going to be delving into the biggest stories in rugby this week. And as we get down to business end of the season in the Champions Cup and the Premiership, so strap yourselves in. I don't think you need to strap yourself in, not unless you're driving, which obviously, legally speaking, you should do. Unless you're in the boot.
Not sure that
tied
sentence
up.
Made sense, but it was a good opening anyway.
It was beautiful. We're also going to be hearing from Toby Flood. He'll be joining us. He joins us on the show on Rugby Tonight. And we'll be discussing the rise of Newcastle Falcons and hearing from George Ford ahead of Leicester's huge game against the Geordies on Friday. First up, though, it's a bit of news. Dylan Hartley out of the South African tour, another concussion injury, will undertake a sustained period of rest. Hartley on Instagram, he said, "I see there's a lot of so-called experts out there in newspapers, pubs and podcasts recommending what I do with my career." What do you recommend, seeing as though you tick pretty much all of those? You were a pundit, you go to the pub, you're on a podcast. What do you think he should do with his career?
I wouldn't like to say.
Well, for fear of being shot down.
Have a go at me. The only thing I would say is it shows that when you're a player, you just have to be a little bit careful about what you say in interviews. And actually, that's probably wrong, because we hate it when the old media training comes in and people are too cautious in interviews. But he did say in May 2016, "If I got another one now, I would be worried. I'd probably start looking at other careers or stuff like that, or maybe a long layoff." Well, I suppose this is a long layoff, isn't it? It's the summer off.
Yeah, he's going to get the whole summer off. And time to readjust.
Well, I do agree with him. I think there are far too many Twitter doctors out there.
Have you?
No, I haven't seen it about him, but I think in general there are. And actually, I think concussion is very misunderstood. People, I think, probably presume that everyone who's had a concussion is going to have problems later in life. People have been getting concussions, not only in rugby, but in all sorts, for a long time. And it's a minority that seem to be having problems. But we just need to make sure we make it as safe as possible and we reduce the number of people that can fall into that minority group.
Because as we can see with you, it's had no long-term effect whatsoever.
No long-term effect.
I don't know why you're in your pyjamas. No. It's 4:30 in the afternoon.
You can't joke about this sort of stuff, Austin. You get into trouble.
Of course you can joke about it. Life's too short not to have a joke. But who's going to be captain then? Does it matter?
Well, I still think he's going to rest Lions, the Lions players, or the Lions players particularly that had a big workload in the summer. So I think England's next captain in line would be Owen Farrell probably, but I think he'll probably take the opportunity to, even if he doesn't rest him, it would be a big thing to make him captain for the tour, because he's probably not going to want to play him in every game.
How about Don Armand? Could you make him captain?
I just don't think he will. You could do. You could make anyone captain.
Me?
Yeah, not so much.
Okay. But there's a lot of injuries, isn't there? Anthony Watson gone, Jonathan Joseph, Courtney Laws, Nathan Hughes. But it should give an opportunity to some young guys to stake a bit of a claim.
Yeah, look, I think England does have strength and depth in most positions. Interesting one will be some of those players that people have been talking about maybe, you know, let's look at someone fresh. They've had a lot of rugby themselves. They're not going to be wanting to say, yeah, it's fine, Eddie, I'll have a rest this summer. But actually, it's the best thing for them to, if they want to maintain their place.
Yeah, talking of really sad stories, though, this week, Rob Horn's retirement. Knocked unconscious in the first 13 seconds of Northampton's win over the Tigers. He's been forced to retire. Will never really have full use of his right arm again.
Well, this is one of those incidents which is, it's just horrific, but it is an accident really, because these sorts of injuries aren't happening any more frequently, I'd argue, than they always have in rugby. You know, even going back to the amateur era, people were breaking necks and various things. So having said that, you know, I don't like the way we talked about him being knocked unconscious, because people will think, oh, it's another concussion thing, which is why he's retired.
Yeah,
it's not. It's totally separate.
The weight of the impact probably caused
the
concussion.
Yeah, and we were there. It was a really innocuous tackle, wasn't it?
Is it a brachial nerve?
Yeah,
it's
brachial
broken.
Nerve. I don't know whether that's what he's done, but you'd think that could well be it. I mean, it was horrible when we saw it. He tried to get up and he couldn't get up. I believe that he might have lost feeling all the way down his right side of his body, but it's his arm that's the real problem. And
it's very sad, isn't it? And it makes you feel, actually, in a lot of ways, quite fortunate that you're in this position after the game that we all played. But it does make you wonder, are rugby players prepared enough for retirement?
I don't think they are.
Have they got enough of a backup plan? And do they have less of one now because they're earning a lot more money than we did?
I think so. I don't think it's an easily solvable situation, because even if you... I think all they need to be doing is buying into the fact that actually at some point this is going to come to an end. Just be exploring what you want to do, because apart from anything, your psychology when you finish, if you're not prepared, I think that's the big thing. No one can really prepare fully and know exactly what they're going to do when they finish necessarily, you know, but they have to just take those steps so that they probably mitigate that shock a little bit, because I think retiring from rugby is almost like a grieving process.
It wasn't for my teammates who were retired. It was a celebratory process.
We had a wake. But look, it is, because it's your identity. You know, most people that play rugby have been playing since they were little. They've probably been very good, and you're always that kid that plays rugby, and suddenly you're not.
Oh, I see. I think that's a mistake, thinking it's your identity,
but I think some people think it is. I think
Brian O'Bannon's going to find out, isn't he? He's retiring after what has been a monumental career. You played against him in the World Cup in 2007. Were you marking him on the outside?
I found him on the pitch a couple of times, and I thought, actually, he hasn't got much room to move in. This will be all right. And I was surprised by his power and how big he was. You know, you saw him when he broke onto the scene, and everyone thought, yeah, skinny, but, you know, very, very fast runner, but not necessarily hugely powerful. But he was big, and he could throw his weight around as well. So.
Certainly could. My memories of him actually were racing that cheetah. I thought he was quick, but the cheetah won, obviously, because he can do 70 mile an hour. I mean, it's a ridiculous race. It was obviously a PR stunt.
Yeah.
Which animal would you race if you had to choose an animal? And obviously, you'd want to win.
A slug.
Which one would leave more of a trail? I'm not so sure. I'd say up there with Jonah Lomu, some of the world's greatest wingers, I would say. You agree?
Yes, I would.
And another part of the news, Ben, shock, horror. George North has signed for one of the Welsh regions.
Yeah, signed for the Ospreys. Quite a nice way of announcing it, the Ospreys today. They put
on a bird, put it on the back of an Osprey.
Put the WhatsApp group messages coming in on a video of the players and new players asking if they'd signed anyone else. And then it turned out it was George North. So that was quite fun. I think it's the right move for him. I think George North suits the Welsh system better than he suits playing for a Premiership club and then going off and trying to play for Wales. We know he had a bit of a falling out with Alan Solomons about his release to go back to play for Wales and not being available for Northampton. Warren Gatland, when he's at the Ospreys, will manage that and make sure that he is as fresh as he possibly can for the right parts of the season for both teams.
And how long is it before the RFU follows suit? Because you hear about all the financial difficulties, you hear about all the losses that these clubs are making.
If I was the RFU, I would be approaching the Aviva Premiership clubs now and say, look, it's not working for you guys. We've had a bad Six Nations. Let's come to an agreement where perhaps we compensate the clubs a little bit more to get more rest time for some of our players, and then that can't be levied at us as an excuse. I don't think that's the sole reason England finished fifth, the fact that their players were tired, but it's an excuse that English fans can put out there and people can levy at the club. So why not say, look, we'll come to an arrangement. But then... it sounds very easy to do that, but as soon as you do that, the agents go, I know for that England player, you're getting a load more money, so we want that money. So the clubs have to be strong on it.
The clubs, the RFU, need to put some kind of block on the agents because they're destroying the game. They've got the potential to send the English game bankrupt.
The only way they block them is the clubs actually coming to an agreement. And if I were the clubs, I would get all the chairmen together and say, over the next couple of years, we're all going to reduce our wage bills by 500 grand or whatever it is. And then if England came to the party as well, suddenly, actually, those teams that are making 2 million, 1.5 million loss, and that's actually quite a good result, 1.5 million loss, because some teams are, I think Worcester said they might lose 8 million this year.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy.
Even if you've got the richest backers,
they're not going to do it for more than 2-3 years unless they can see some growth at the end. So I know what you're saying. I reduce it proportionately. I'd say everyone's going to reduce their spend by 20%, but increase their squad size by 20%. And
but
that does the same thing.
That. You don't have to do that if you get rid of the A-League. Definitely, I think they should try and find a way of scrapping the A-League. Well, there's an easy way to scrap the A-League. You just don't have it.
Maybe, do you put it in one of those
Anglo
cushions?
Welsh isn't the Anglo Welsh next year. It's a cup competition back to all English clubs.
Okay.
So I think if you take those out, maybe it keeps up the cup competition in some sort of format, so you do have an opportunity.
That's the A-League, really.
But then you support the Championship better, and that means that those players can go off on loan to the Championship, prove themselves in senior rugby rather than just academy rugby, and then you don't need as big a squad. Because it's not just... You've got to have specialist positions. So you can't just go, oh, well, if you up the squad by foot, well, what position do you up them in? Because you might get injured in other positions. So I think small, the same size squad as they've got now, but send some of those players that aren't getting game time off into the Championship and don't play Monday night games, particularly when you've got Anglo-Welsh games on a weekend anyway.
I think the simple fact is that rugby union cannot pay any player over £500,000 a year. Agreed. It simply cannot.
Well, that's the other
it
thing.
Can't
I'd
sustain
get rid
it.
Of. The other thing I'd
players.
Get rid of. No, I would get rid of the second marquee player that was brought in a couple of seasons ago.
Stupid.
Because you can get away in a team. You can get away, I think, with one marquee player. You go right. He's the superstar of the team. But as soon as you put another one in, I think it gives more outlets for people to go, well, I've been offered this much by this team because I could be their second marquee player, or I just think it just artificially inflates the market.
And there'll be players across the country listening to this going, shut up, Healy, shut up, Kay. You know, we deserve this money. It's a short career. But they're giving half of it to the taxman. So ridiculous.
No, I totally understand players saying that. But equally, I'd quite like some players in 10 years' time to be saying, I wish there was still a league for us to play in.
I think it might be shorter than that. Should we go a bit more positive?
Yeah.
A bit more fun. What a weekend of European action, wasn't it? Champions Cup.
Well, it's not positive if you're a Scarlets fan, is it?
It's pretty positive if you're from Leinster or Racing.
Yeah.
And Munster fought back pretty damn
well,
to be fair.
Yes, they did. But they were never going to get back. Munster will be really disappointed with how they played. Leinster were phenomenal. And, you know, I said in the lead-up to the game, they're obviously favourites and I expect them to win. And if they play how
they
did...
You expect them to win?
Yes, because I don't think Racing can maintain their brilliance for long enough in the game to be able to compete with a very fit Leinster side that are just fairly relentless. And I think that will be the big problem. And Scarlets, I think I saw a stat that their completions for tackles were something like 93%. So it's not like they've had a terrible day defensively at the office, yet they've still got absolutely battered. Leinster, without doubt, the best team in Europe at the moment.
Oh, I don't know. I think Racing will push them a lot harder than anyone else. If you watch the Racing game, they committed two or three players to every single ruck. They got a lot of turnovers against Munster.
That'll be the thing.
And the fast ruck ball against Leinster that Leinster had was just unstoppable. So you don't have to win collisions. You don't have to really win the gain line if you're getting such quick ball because the defence can't have any line speed. And that's where the game will be won and lost.
Exactly. It is just a battle of tactics, isn't it? And you know, for the neutral, they'll probably want Leinster to come out on top because if it opens up for them, it'll be a more exciting game.
I'd actually quite like to see Racing win.
All right. You're not neutral, though, are you? You're French.
Oui. did you see, talking of which, Teddy Thomas? Now, I've actually done this for England.
Thomas.
Whatever. You said I was French. I'll pronounce it out flipping well like. I don't know if you saw it. Teddy Thomas. over the line. I did this for England. I passed the ball to Phil Greening, scored two tries in the World Cup against Tonga.
Yeah.
Was over the line. Greening went, I dare you. I went, all right, and gave it to him. And then I saw Ted do it. But he was right by the dead ball line when he did it.
Yeah.
And Machinot was a little bit shocked.
He was. And I think there was just that glint in Teddy Thomas' eyes, wasn't there, just as he lets go of it, going, oh, God, I don't know if he's got
it's
this.
It's a proper wind-up, though, isn't it? When you do it and he drops it and you go, ah, look at you, knock on, idiot. Oh, I've done that myself. And then the Challenge Cup.
Though, Teddy Thomas. And shows how much France missed him after he got dropped for his misdemeanours up in Edinburgh. So.
Yeah. Misdemeanours in Edinburgh, you do that, it's disgraceful. Challenge Cup. I thought Newcastle were a bit one-dimensional against Gloucester. Gloucester deserved the win, but obviously Newcastle didn't have their extra dimensions of Sonotti and Gonova, which do obviously make a huge difference to them.
I think if there's one, and they might well prove me wrong this weekend when they go up to Leicester, if there's one area that Newcastle lack, particularly when those guys aren't the field, on the field, is those collision winners that can get you that initial momentum, particularly in the forward pack. They've got a brilliant set of forwards. I think their set piece is the best in the league. Their driving play is fantastic. We saw them score from that as well. But just where I think they came undone a little bit was those collision wins, and Gloucester certainly had the better of the game with that.
And I think Cardiff, I think the pitch really helped them against Po. The French guys aren't used to playing on those sorts of pitches. And that'll be a good final, actually. Gloucester against Cardiff. Looking forward to that
Friday night.
And the fact that it's all in Bilbao.
And
it's all on BT Sport.
Really well-supported teams. The only problem is, I've seen that
flights.
A lot of people are having problems with flights and accommodation and hotels tripling the price and things. So I hope...
We're not paying, though, are we? I mean, surely BT's...
You're paying for me.
Am I?
Yeah.
Well, you're sleeping at the bottom of the bed again, then.
Excellent.
But I've seen a lot of people flying into Madrid and getting the train from Madrid, which only takes 18 hours, apparently.
And France as well.
Yeah. Where in France would you fly to if you're going to Bilbao? Bordeaux?
Yes, I would. Yeah.
Or San Sebastian?
No, Bordeaux.
Bordeaux.
Yeah.
More routes.
Bordeaux,
as Sora would say. One player that was really upset with the result down at King's Own was Toby Flood. Obviously, he was looking forward to trying to get fit for that final.
Oh, he's gutted because he'd booked his holiday around, maybe staying out there. Afterwards, so now he's got to pay for his own flight out there. Devastated.
Oh, shocker. But again, he was with us in the studio and explained what went wrong against Gloucester.
You look at the talent they have, and they've got an exceptionally good squad, and I may make no friends here, but Gloucester are a serious team. Three finals in 4 years in the Challenge Cup's great, but actually, they're a team where you always think of being in the Champions Cup. They're that good. So, yes, they've done exceptionally well, but you look at the quality of players they have, and they're a team you perceive to be going on the up, and it clicked for them on the night, and they were exceptional.
And you were missing a few players, some injured players, and others not registered for Europe. Did you miss that kind of just sprinkle of stardust on the night?
Potentially, yes, but at the same time, no. I think the sort of situation is those guys weren't registered, and the guys who had come in and done really well in Brive and the games prior to that had put their hand up and probably deserved on merit in that competition to be picked. So we're obviously going to miss the likes of Sonotti Zanotti and Nicky Gonova, but the quality of guys we have come in now as we touched them before with and pushing us sort of upwards is really good.
And Toby, it's pretty much Newcastle win on Friday, and you can more or less say, can't you, yes, we've got the playoff spot?
Maybe.
Shaking your head, but...
Yeah, try not to think about it. I think you sort of, as a team, we're aware of the sort of the connotations, but you kind of have to stick on your sort of your processes into the game. But you look at the table there, you realise how tight it is. Gloucester could pick up a couple of results in the end of the year and get it out. And then actually...
You got it out.
So I don't want to say it, see, I don't want to make it true. But and then ultimately then you're in a situation where you've been knocked out of top of that sort of top four position. So it's really tight, and we put ourselves in that position, which is great. The hard bit is now trying to get it over the line.
What's the mood been like this week? Is it hard to kind of lift yourselves after getting knocked out of an European competition last weekend?
Yeah, it's never easy. I think you've got aspirations to go to Bilbao and play in a final, but the reality is we find ourselves with two games to go, and they're all as important as the last one, really. So it is difficult. We are obviously disappointed to not got there, but the chance and the reality is that now we get the opportunity to go again, and because of that, the excitement levels have to come straight back up again, and we have to be in a situation where we attack this match, and if we'll see where we get to, and if we can pull a result, that'd be fantastic. And as you say, it puts us in a good position.
So a big opportunity for Gloucester then in Bilbao, and missed opportunity for Dean Richards, and also a little bit of bad news, Stefan Armitage. Could be the end of his career, that. He's not the youngest of guys, is he? He's torn his Achilles. He's going to certainly miss the final.
Yeah, I think he'll miss the final, yeah.
Well, unless, considering, you know, Lazarus.
They're not there.
Oh, yeah. And he'd be missing the final as well because his team aren't actually there. I forgot they lost, yeah. I had money in them to win. Damn.
Carry on.
Okay, nominations are out for the European Player of the Year. It's obviously dominated by Leinster and Racing players. In fact, there's only players from Leinster and Racing on there. Fardy Furlong, Sexton from Leinster, and Mashino and Nakawara from Racing. Who's your money on?
I think Ty Furlong might get it.
Yeah, I think he probably will.
I like Nakarawa because he does some... you can't help but talk about him in a game. He does things that other people don't do. But yeah, I think Furlong.
As you can see, we're highly enthusiastic about the player of the season. Ooh. European.
They haven't invited us, have they?
No. Oh, actually, I am going. It's in Lausanne, yeah.
Lausanne?
It's a nice trip. Have you been?
No.
Wonderful lake, great hotel, wines. Excellent.
I've been to Lausanne.
Have you?
I've driven through it.
You've driven through it?
Yeah.
Around the lake or across?
No, straight across.
Yeah. You got that same car that James Bond had that time with Lotus Esprit, wasn't it? Went into the water.
Just really big tyres.
If we're going to do a shortlist for the Aviva Premiership Player of the Season, I would go with probably, I think Guy Thompson could be up there. He's had a very good season. I think Dan Robson's played particularly well.
Cipriani
has had a good year. Exeter guys. It's difficult with Exeter because they're just such a team.
Yeah. Armand's was consistently so good that everyone was saying, how come Eddie's not picking him?
Yeah, Armand, Hill in the second row.
Definitely Sam Simmons. The number of tries he scored, he's got the record for the fastest number of...
I think great before Christmas.
Yeah,
got a bit wet, went away with England, came back, had a bit of an injury. He'd be up there. Who else looking around the country?
Bound to be missing some. What about Newcastle? Because they've...
Yeah.
They've... sort of come from nowhere, really, haven't they?
Do you know who's had a really good season but doesn't get that much credit? Is Harris.
Yeah.
At 13. Obviously, Gonova's played well.
Oh, Faf de Klerk.
Yes, Faf de Klerk. He'd be right up there. Yeah. It's either got to be him at 9 or... who are we going to pick at... Well, I know you don't pick the backs, but de Klerk or Robson at 9. There's actually... It's a difficult choice this year, that back line.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's been some good people to come into that team. We should get a different Premiership All Stars team this year, shouldn't we?
Well, like an alternative one.
I think we should do one with long hair. Often it's like England players and people that are established players, and I think we'll get some new guys in.
I think we should just do one with guys who've got long hair this year. I know we're supposed to take it seriously, and everybody looks forward to hearing who the Aviva Premiership Team of the Year is, but we should just do long haired guys this year.
The Woolly Mammoth 15.
Yeah, I like it. Back to the Aviva Premiership then. Friday night. Well, this could well be. It is undoubtedly the biggest game of the season because it should decide fourth place.
Well, Matt O'Connor has said for Leicester it's a quarter final, and it is. If Leicester lose it, they're out.
Yeah.
Yes, they've still got to go and play Sale, so it doesn't guarantee them a semi-final place if they win it, I don't think. But I think they have to have to win both their remaining two games to qualify.
Whereas Newcastle just have to win on Friday night so they can throw the kitchen sink at it. Friday night, it's 7 p.m. Leicester Tigers versus Newcastle Falcons, and it's on BT Sport 1 and 4K UHD. George Ford was with us in the studio.
If you're a Leicester Tigers player, you expect to be involved in the biggest games at the business end of the season, and I think the past years, the record that the club has been there in the top four for many, many years is great, but counts for nothing now. And we want to make our own history. We want to get there again. We're desperate to do so, and that's what it's gearing up to in these next couple of games, starting with obviously Newcastle Friday.
Manu Tuilagi expected to return, maybe not to the starting lineup, or inside information?
I genuinely don't know, but I think, you know, why would you gamble on leaving him off when? Because they've got a few injury problems as well, haven't they? I don't think they've got a full complement of centres to pick from, because they've been playing Matt Smith, Matthew Tate when he's available with his head injuries as well.
Injured,
I think if he's fit, they'll throw him in.
It sounds like both sides are almost full strength.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Which is good, actually. It's good to see both teams haven't got that excuse, so it should be an absolute firecracker there. One difficult scenario will be if Leicester get two losing bonus points and Newcastle win, and then the final game suddenly becomes relevant again.
Yeah.
Which, for Leicester, is slightly easier than Newcastle's. Newcastle play Wasps in the final
game,
but they, in theory, will have already qualified in third or maybe even second.
Yeah.
So that's a great game. Saturday sees the Chiefs take on Sale Sharks, but our game is Gloucester versus Bath, the West Country Derby, and that's from 2:30 p.m. and it's on BT Sport 2 Saturday afternoon and 4K UHD. Bath have had, well, a great record recently against Gloucester, but have lost four on the spin. Some rumours that Todd Blackadder has already been fired and has agreed a severance package, and only rumours, I have to add that at this stage, but he's definitely going at the end of the year. and what do you think of that? If it is true, if it does turn out to be true.
I guess the reason you part company with a coach is not necessarily because of what's happened over the year, but it's whether the guy who's paying the checks can see that there's any chance of it getting better. And so if he does part company with Bath, I would think that, you know, Bruce Craig says, well, I can't see where we're going to get better next year. But equally, you know, you can get into a mindset of bringing in a new coach every couple of years and they never get a chance to actually you know, settle into the role, learn the Premiership if you bring them in from outside. I tell you what, though, if that does happen and Harlequins are looking for a head coach at the moment or a director of rugby to replace John Kingston, there'll be a few people out there that I reckon their phones are ringing off their hook, and one person that I think will be is Andy Farrell. And would they be able to prize Andy Farrell away from Ireland? Would they be able to prize a Stuart Lancaster? I mean, look at where his reputation is now compared to where it was post-World Cup. So there's a lot of guys that will be... Because I'm not sure...
Dean Richards to Bath?
Absolutely.
Jim Mallander?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of there's some guys out there. It's going to be really interesting how that plays out. Let's point out.
Do you think
out,
that
we
is
don't
results
know
driven?
That Todd Blackadder is going.
We don't, yeah, but he is. Sure. So okay. Do you think that's results driven, or do you think it's player power?
That
if you had
gone,
to guess, if he has gone allegedly.
Do you know? I think one of the biggest things that has hampered him is Tobias Mattsson leaving halfway through the club season to go back to New Zealand, because, you know, I think he was renowned, although, you know, Todd Blackadder was, you know, came over here with all the fanfare and the people that everyone had heard of, the person that everyone had heard of. I think Mattsson was really widely regarded as a superb coach when he was at the Crusaders.
Yeah, big game for Bath then, and for Gloucester actually in their pursuit of a potential still finish in the top four. It's still there for them, isn't it? There's still a small chance that they can do it. 1 point behind Leicester and three behind Newcastle. Leicester win without a bonus point. Gloucester get the bonus point when it all comes down to the final round. Gloucester, I think, go away to Sarries, do they, in the final round?
Well,
again,
a
I
draw,
might just...
A Friday night draw.
Ooh.
Low scorer.
Yeah.
Would be
three
ideal.
Three all would be brilliant, wouldn't it? Really look forward to that. That'll get the viewers in. Yeah. Worcester versus Quins. London versus Irish are also taking part.
London versus Irish. That'll be a hell of a game, that.
What?
You said London versus Irish.
Did
that'll
I?
Be one hell of a game. The whole of London against the whole of Ireland. Love it.
There's more people in London than
Saracen's going to play for London, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So the other two games on Saturday are Worcester versus Harlequins and London versus Irish. And Saracens are there as well. On Sunday, though, to wrap up the weekend, we go down to Coventry. Wasps versus Northampton Saints. That's at 2:30 p.m. and it's on BT Sport 1 and 4K UHD. Dan Robson has just signed a long-term contract with Wasps. Hardly surprising. No. Saints without Horn and Hartley. I think the Saints will be highly motivated for that game after what happened to Rob Horn.
Yeah, I think you're right. But, you know, I know... Leicester fans or Leicester players aren't renowned for showing sympathy to Northampton, but I do feel for Northampton particularly. You know, I think they saw Horn as someone that they could really build around and potentially be the next captain. So, you know, they've lost their current captain and lost what could have been their future captain. So not the ideal circumstances for the new man to be coming in, but I think you're right. I think the players will really lift for this game on Sunday.
Yeah, Wasps cementing their place in the top four as well, hopefully for them. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. Next week, Rugby Tonight, we'll be back in the studio and we'll be back through the airwaves delivering you all the week's roundups, news and previews. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review if you've enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.